Welcome to Sound of Truth Weekly Interview, where we hear about how God is at work in people's lives and in the world today. We're excited you've joined us. Here's our host, Brett Marani.
It is always great to have Brandon West as a guest here on our Sound of Truth Weekly Interview, although it's been a minute. Yes, it's been a minute. That's the phrase my kids use all the time around the house, which means it's been a while. In fact, it has been since early 2022, since we published the episodes that were recorded largely at the end of 2021. Those were episodes number 101, where Brandon West shared his personal testimony. And then episodes, if you want to go back and listen to these, 105 and 113, where we talked about business as a ministry. Brandon is a business owner, and he started Fos Creative back in when, Brandon?
2013.
Brandon, good to have you back on Sound of Truth Weekly Interview.
Such a pleasure, man. Thanks so much, dude.
So Brandon and I became friends several years ago when he was leading worship at a church in Gainesville. I was friends with his founding pastor and then got to know Brandon and Shelley, his wife, and they've had a couple boys, and he's launched out into the business world. Describe for our listeners again, who didn't hear the first episodes, what Fos Creative is.
We say that Fos Creative is a strategy-first digital marketing agency headquartered in Gainesville, Florida, helping small and mid-sized organizations do the only two things that they need to be successful online: build trust and build awareness. We've got this really cool vision that sits behind it to see 30 care centers launched around the world that care for women and children impacted by extreme poverty and sex trafficking. So it's this digital marketing company that is seeing dignity, purpose, and freedom restored to women and children around the world. We just launched a month ago our 8th care center. This one is in Guatemala, and they together are caring for over 1,200 women and children around the world.
Wow, praise God. That is awesome. Now you understand why I wanted Brandon to be on my podcast a couple years ago, talking about doing business as ministry. That's what they're doing. And man, just in that succinct of an explanation or description of what Fos Creative is about, if I were listening to this podcast and I were looking for a job and I had skills, I'd be thinking, hey, where do I send my resume to this guy? If you got a kingdom heart, and that's just phenomenal. We're going to talk about, you're also now a published author, Brandon. And so I've been reading your book, and it's been fantastic. It just came out in January, and I'm working my way through it. And the title of the book is this: It Is Not Your Business to Succeed. Subtitle: Your Role in Leadership When You Can't Control Your Outcomes. And this is Brandon M. West.
My mom thought it'd be really cool to have my initials be BMW. So it's Brandon Michael West, and my sister's initials are Brittany Marie West. So we have two BMWs in the family.
I love it. Well, let's talk about this book, Brandon. What was the impetus for this? What initiated the idea of writing a book on this topic?
Yeah, I have loved these two spheres, these two domains that the Lord's placed me in for the past 10 to 20 years. One domain has been in the church world, being a worship leader, being a pastor at a church here in Gainesville now. The second domain has been in the business world, in the marketplace. And Fos has done a lot of cool things. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year, coming up on 11 years here in June. And like any business, it's had its ups and downs. Like any ministry, my ministry has had its ups and downs. And I've found in both sectors, for-profit, non-profit, classic ministry, or even business, or business as a ministry, this hybrid that we've created, I found in any of those contexts, we are tempted to see our definition of success, and we wind up tying a lot of our identity to outcomes. And the sad part of doing that is you can't control any of your outcomes, any of your results. You can't control those things. And it's things like we've all experienced in the past few years that have taught us that. A global pandemic where everything shuts down, all of a sudden all of your travel plans or your relational plans, your strategic objectives for the year are all completely disrupted. And you're sitting back going, look, my options here, pivot what I am doing or stick to a plan that now I think is going to fail. And the way that we define failure can really affect the way that we think about self and value and worth and, as I shared, identity. And I think what breaks my heart is to watch myself and other men and women leaders in both of these sectors set their hearts, set their definition of success and failure upon things that they cannot control. And then when those objectives do not come to fruition, they're not able to meet that goal, they're not able to reach that objective, they're not able to make something happen in their life, what happens to them as they begin to personally, emotionally erode is devastating. And I've seen it in my own life when I tell myself, this is what success looks like. And then it doesn't happen. And I'm thinking, I'm a failure. And we all this negative self-talk that comes over us. And I think what I've learned is that there's a different way of thinking about success. There's a different thing that we're being called to. And the beauty of it is it's so much better than what success has to offer us. Instead, God's saying, hey, be faithful. Be faithful. Even this morning, before we hopped on this podcast, I'm driving back from this meeting and I'm thinking, man, there is so much suffering and hurting and brokenness around me. People in the ICU for my company and my family, marriages around me that are breaking and being torn apart, and sickness and disease. And I'm just thinking, God, why do you have so much suffering around me right now? And the words that were on my heart was words even from this book, that it is not your business to solve all these problems, to succeed. I just want you to be faithful. I just want you to love and lead well. Lean in, love these people faithfully who are hurting. Go after them and trust me for the results and the outcome. And so the title of the book comes from a C.S. Lewis quote where he says, it is not your business to succeed, but only to do what is right. And then entrust the result to God.
That's fantastic. When you think about this topic, the topic of success, let's go ahead and frame a couple of definitions. One would be the world's view of success. Could you summarize that in a sentence and then in a sentence follow it up with God's definition of success?
I think that's really the key. Like, can we define what we actually mean by this? I think we would agree. Just Google successful people. And you're going to find people who have made a lot of money, have a ton of influence, a ton of followers on social media. They maybe just sold a big company, had this big buyout happen. They won this huge award. That's the world's definition. Oh, this person, they are successful. Oh, you're such a successful leader. I think what God is saying and what I've been taught, and really this book is kind of I feel like you're reading my journal from the past 4 years, just a very vulnerable look at this. I think what God would say is you are successful if only you are faithful, regardless of whether or not you are effectual. And I think we see some of these pictures painted in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. One of my favorite ones is a prophet who's just told, hey, this is what successful ministry is going to look like. I want you to lay on your side for an entire year outside of this city. I want you to just lay on your side. And then after you know that, you're going to do it on your other side for an extended period of time as well. And I'm just thinking, were these people walking past this prophet, laying on his side, cooking his food over some cow feces and thinking, man, what a successful ministry this guy has built with his life. Like, can we follow you on Instagram for more ideas about holiness and how to follow God? Like, where do I get more of this? I don't think anybody's writing that picture over this divine artistic prophetic art installation that's happening outside of one of the cities of God. I think what they're actually saying is you're crazy. You are psycho, man. And what God's going to say over him is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And so I just think we have defined success as something that we, regarding results that we cannot control. And God, on the other hand, is saying, no, here's what success looks like. Follow me. Abide in me. Be faithful. Do the things I'm asking you to do. Come after me on a daily basis. And you will be told, well done, good and faithful servant.
As you're writing this book, you share your own struggles in a way that few authors that I've read do. And I really appreciate that, Brandon. How much of this book would you say is preaching to yourself?
Man, the whole thing. The whole thing. My favorite comment was when my wife, Shelley, was reading through the book just in Google Doc form, and she's commenting on things and editing things. And there was this one section halfway, two-thirds of the way through the book where she commented on something, and she's like, "Dang, babe, mic drop. This is so good. Can I remind you of this later? can I remind you of this later? Because this is really good, and I'm going to need to remind you of this." The whole book is a giant reminder. I am preaching to myself this message on a daily basis. It only takes one lost client for me, an award that we applied for that we didn't win, a red month on our profit and loss statement in the ministry context, a single family saying, we don't feel community here, we're leaving. It only takes one of those things for me to just spiral at times and begin to think, is it me? Am I a failure? Am I just a worthless leader? Am I even qualified for the thing? And you just begin all of these questions that come instead of saying, what can I learn? How can I be better? Where do I need to grow? And I think one of the reasons why we're stuck in these negative patterns of success is like, well, we're not having some of these conversations about transparent and vulnerable conversations about what is struggling. The image that we want to project is that everything is great. Everything is fine. My marriage is great. My kids are great. My ministry is great. My business is great. Profits up. Cash is, you know, that's what we want to share. That's what we want to celebrate. We walk into business networking meetings. I walked into one last year, a room full of agency leaders just around the globe. And I am like doing the networking thing, 30, 45 minutes. I know dinner's supposed to start soon. I'm like watching the clock, waiting for dinner to start because these conversations are just exhausting me. How's your agency? Great, great. How's your agency? Great, great. And I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know we're going to get into breakout groups, and I know we're going to go, hey, how's your agency? And somebody's going to go, I feel like we're about to close. I feel like everything is just falling apart. And so I go up to the host and I'm like, hey, I know dinner was supposed to start like 5 minutes ago. Are we getting started with dinner? He's like, I think fellowship's going so well here. We're going to push it back another 20 minutes. I was like, okay. I turned around and I just walked out of the building. I just went, I had to go walk along the ocean and just have quiet time with God because I was so overwhelmed with just the facade that we put up of like, yes, everything's great and everything's great. It's transparency and vulnerability. It's the key that unlocks so much ministry potential. And the reason why we're not willing to do it is because of a wrong definition of success. We think that in order to be an influential leader and have influence on other people's lives and be able to speak into them and minister to them, we have to be a 10 out of 10 on everything in our life. But if we're not walking in as a 10 out of 10, then what do I have to offer people? Mm-hmm. Where God's like, actually, what qualifies you for ministry is your brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so when we get into these contexts and we ask, hey, how are you doing? Oh, good. Table discussion. Next person. How you doing? Oh, good. Next person. How you doing? Actually, it's been a really hard week. The next person, yes. How you doing? Actually, it's been a really hard week. And all of a sudden, the whole temperature at the table changes just because one person was willing to go. This is what's been hard recently. And when that happens, it's like somebody goes up to the thermostat in the room, like changes the temperature, and all of a sudden, like the whole thing just feels different. And that's the person at the table who's willing to go. Yeah, what success is me just growing, just plus wanting something in my life. It's not having it all together. It's not, let me tell you about my next award, my next big thing that's happened. Here's how God's growing me, and here's what he's teaching me about faithfulness.
So how has this message been received so far?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's my first book I've ever published, and so it's just this giant piece of literature that's sitting out there in the public and being I don't know who's purchasing it. Amazon doesn't tell me. It's just people buying it, and I get these random texts and phone calls and emails sent to me about what God's doing. Probably one of my favorite ones was a pastor who texted me and said, I just finished your book, and as I finished it, I closed the book on my desk here at church. And I just pushed it away in front of me, and I just sat there at my desk and I wept. And what I felt like I heard the Lord saying to me over and over was, keep going, keep going, keep going. I think without the vulnerable culture of, hey, here's what's well and here's what's not well right now, here's what's healthy, here's what's not. I think without that, we get very lonely as leaders. We get very isolated. We think that we're the only ones who are struggling in our ministry, in our career, in our job, in our business. And it's very tempting to think, you know what, I'm just going to give up. Like, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Somebody more godly, more skilled, more passionate, better gifted as a leader, they could come along and they could bring this somewhere better than where I've gotten it to. And I think those lies just erode our confidence, our sense of strength and hope about the future. And so if this book could encourage people to keep going, be faithful, don't give up on your marriage. You committed to her through every season that you'd be with her. You started this business because you felt like God gave you a vision. You got into ministry because you felt gifted to lead and pastor people. Keep going. And if this book could do that for somebody who's in a dark place and help them feel seen and supported, that would be a great joy to me.
Excellent. So, Brandon, as I'm reading this, in the back of my mind, I keep thinking, yeah, but Brandon is successful in the eyes of the world. You've won several awards, your company has. You are financially stable, I would say. I've never asked you that question. You've never shared with me how much the Lord has prospered you financially through your hard work and diligence. So, do you think you would have written this book if you had not had what the world defines as success, as we talked about just a few moments ago? You're constantly preaching yourself this message, what real success is, even though you have been experiencing. Talk about that tension that, you know, did this make you qualified to write the book, or could you have been just as qualified if your business maybe was a quarter or 15% of the size it is now?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And to be honest, If we wouldn't have had some of that success in the world's eyes, I probably wouldn't have written the book. And I think that this is where, like, the stories that God's writing in your life become guardrails for your own ministry, wellness, mindset, but they also become tools for us to invest in other leaders. It's interesting. I get invited to speak and be on stages and MC events and give keynotes and things like that because of what's happened inside of those and the growth that we've had and the success that we've had. But when I'm there, I feel like my role is actually to protect and pastor those leaders in any room, in a religious context or a secular context on those stages, to help them see that the success that they're chasing, one, is extremely fragile, right?
Exactly. Both
has done really well. But the truth is, revenue is vanity. Profit is sanity. Cash is reality, right? So mm-hmm. Most organizations are held up with gum and sticks because what's sitting behind them with infrastructure or fiscally or organizationally is exceedingly weak. And so what we're trying to build is to be faithful, is all of the right things, all the right processes, all the right infrastructure, build it on people, on purpose, on culture, because that's our definition of success. Like, yes, I am shooting for, I am aiming for as high a top line as possible with as much profit as possible, maintaining as much cash as possible. Those are our goals. You look at our strategic objectives as an agency, it's all around that. But what happens if I can't reach that? What happens if I don't reach that? By the world's definition, like, I am a failure. I sought for something and I did not see it to fruition. I failed to complete the objective. But I think the one thing that I can control is who I am in the middle of all those things. My character that I bring to the table in the middle of all those things, who I am becoming in pursuit of the things that I want. Those are the things that please the Lord. The psalmist was afraid of failure. He was, but his fear of failure was not that he would not achieve a goal he was searching for. He was like, would that I become, that I'm faithful, full of integrity, that my character is deep enough to be pleasing to the Lord. And I think that's where our head and heart should be as leaders as well. So would I have written the book without some of that success? Probably not. But I think any one of us can raise our hand and agree with this idea that regardless of whatever size of anything I'm sorry, I wrote this book for the stay-at-home mom. who's sitting there going, but I feel like I'm supposed to be out in the marketplace making this huge difference. And I got this degree that feels wasted now. I have all this potential. It's not being fulfilled, being wasted. And I'm like, man, the Lord is so pleased with you. The Lord is so pleased with your ministry that you are doing. I think about a story by Randy Alcorn once where he was sharing in this video series on heaven. He had met this bellman in a hotel that he was at. He was in town at this hotel for a conference, and you'd see the bellman every night and morning when he would walk in and out for the conference, and develop a relationship with this man. And just thought so highly of this bellman. This just really kind, gentle guy. And on the final day, he comes to the bellman and he's like, hey, I bought you this gift, and it was this cross. And the bellman was like crying. And he's like, why would you do this for me, Mr. Alcorn? Mr. Alcorn, why would you do this? I'm just a bellman. And Alcorn's response was, you're actually the man that I will look up to in the next life. Like, you are so close to the heart of God. Like, there is no such thing as just a bellman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we define our objectives as, well, success means I'm the CEO, or at least the director level, or at least have this much of income, or at least have this many children, or at least have this size of a home, we get our hearts set on things that aren't where the heart of God is. Like, folks could be more successful than it is. Folks could be more successful, but in order for me to be that successful as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, the things I'd have to give up are my walk with Jesus, my community and my church, my ministry and my local fellowship. I'd have to give up my marriage. I'd have to give up my parenting. I'd have to give up rest. I'd have to give up retreat. All these different things. Folks could be more successful. I could have a higher income. We, at Folks, we give away 50% of all of our profit to fund those care centers. There's a little bit of a... of a check that happens every time I submit my National Christian Foundation donor advised fund online each month when we deal with our profit. Because I think, again, the entrepreneurial lie is like, I deserve as much money as I possibly could make through this thing. I'm giving my life for it. Instead, I'm saying I'm giving my life for a mission, for a purpose, for the gospel. And this tool is actually just a tool. This business is actually just a tool that God's given me for accomplishing his purposes in and through me. So it is with writing. So it is with my marriage and my family, all those things meant to make much of Jesus.
Awesome. Listen, if you are hearing what Brandon is sharing and resonating in your heart with him, I want to really encourage you to pick up this book. It Is Not Your Business to Succeed by Brandon M. West, available through Amazon. Also, Brandon has a website, BrandonMichaelWest.com. Brandon, thank you for sharing. This has been wonderful. Everything I expected and more in covering this topic. So, final summary statement that you want to share, Brandon.
I think by the world's definition, we would define success this way. I will be successful when I fill in the blank. By the world's definition of success, that's how we define success over and over. I will be successful when I fill in the blank, reach something, do something, accomplish something, get something, etc. And I think the more I've thought about this faithfulness mindset, we would say as believers, I will be successful as I fill in the blank, follow God, abide in Jesus, love my family, persevere in my marriage, disciple my children, lean into the people that God's called me to shepherd in my business, to walk faithfully with God. And those two different words there, when I and as I, change everything about the way that we see success, purpose, calling, where we should invest our energy. You'll be successful if only you are faithful, regardless of whether or not you are effectual.
Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to come on Sound of Truth Weekly interview again. I look forward to your sequel or another book in the future. Really appreciate your time, brother. Bless you.
Thanks, friend.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sound of Truth Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review it. Also, tell your friends about it. Thanks. Music is by Canon and is used by permission. Sound of Truth is produced in collaboration with Harvest Jacksonville and is copyrighted by Brett A. Morani, 2024.